Everyone has a story to tell. What's yours? You're listening to Around the World with Dan Perry. Do you enjoy hearing tales of world adventure? Would you like travel advice from those who know the road well? Maybe you want to embark on a journey of your own, and you just need a bit of motivation to get started. You'll find all of that and more on Around the World with Dan Perry.
Hello, everyone. I want to start off with a bit of an apology. I'm sorry about missing the last 2 weeks of putting out this show. I've been working on finalizing my upcoming book, 1,000 Days Between, Part 2, and I'm getting really close right now. But I just wanted to focus my attention more on the book for a little bit. Now I think I'm getting back into the swing of things with this show, and hope to keep putting out new episodes as Katie and I wind down our time here in Beijing, China. It's been 3 years, and time sure does fly. We're currently working on figuring out what we want to sell and what we want to just give away, and maybe a few things that we want to keep for the long haul. It's kind of hard to take a lot of stuff halfway around the world home with you, though. So we're mostly just cleaning up house at this point, getting ready to move out in a couple of weeks and head back to the States. And I think this is a healthy thing to do every few years, to kind of reassess your life, where you're at, and kind of look back at all the memories of things that you've gone through as you've grown as a person, and look forward to all the wonderful times that are still to come. Which brings us to our next year, where Katie and I are going to take the next year off and travel. We're getting excited for this trip. We're going to first spend about a month at home in Wisconsin, visiting friends and family, relaxing, putting out a book, that kind of thing. Then we're going to take off for sunny Iceland for a few days, see what all the hype is all about. From there, we're going to head over to Finland. Yeah, maybe we'll catch some northern lights this summer. I haven't really thought about that yet. I've never seen the northern lights. That'll be exciting. Then we're going to catch a train into St. Petersburg, Russia. And that's where the heart of our adventure will begin. We're going to take the Trans-Siberian Railway across to Lake Baikal and then down into Mongolia and ending up eventually right back here in Beijing, China. We're working on getting our Russian visas right now. We should have those within a week or two. And then we can look at setting up the next part of our trip, which is going to include a bit of time, at least, in the Philippines, that tropical country down in the Pacific Ocean. And that happens to be where my guest for today is from. Mitch Albor is from the Philippines, and we discussed her home country a little bit and a few of the places that Katie and I might end up going. Mitch was a really nice person. I had a lot of fun sitting down and talking with her. And one thing that came up was I talked a little bit about my trip down the Amazon River, which I am writing about for my book, 1,000 Days Between, Part 2. I haven't really talked about that trip too much, so you get to hear about it during this podcast. Well, I hope you enjoy my discussion with Mitch Albor as much as I did. Let's get into it and listen to our talk.
So, like, as a single person, like, I've always told myself, like, before going to another country, like, oh, I need to really explore my country first.
Yeah.
Which I did. Like, almost every summer, I used to visit different places.
Okay.
And so when I was in the States, like, you know, having the, like, accessibility to, like, my own car and all that, so that was great experience. Just get in the car and then get on I-95 and, you know, and get to different places.
Where did you go?
So different states. So, but no, at first, like I was in North Carolina. So my first trip out of North Carolina was, I went to Tampa. My cousin was there. I needed to see her. So my first Thanksgiving was in Tampa. That was a long drive. We went to West Palm. Like I met a friend there. We went to Sarasota. We went to the Key West, you know? So that is something I miss right now.
Just the freedom of being able to go. Wherever. Yeah. Was this before you had kids?
No, when I got there, I actually left like the boys. So I was on my own.
Yeah.
Because they were young, you know? So I was with my friends. So it was, and we all loved traveling.
Yeah.
So, we need to go to Georgia. We need to go to Virginia. So it was just, you know, that kind of freedom I miss right now, the independence of, and it's very easy to travel in the States, though, like the roads.
Yeah, there's something about the road trip. Yeah. I just love it.
And it's time for me, those long trips, it's time for me to think. So many things, yeah. You know, those random thoughts and all that. And that is something I truly miss here. Yeah. How I wish, like, there's so many things I want to go, like, here in China, but, like, there's so much limitation.
It's like what? Like, for you or for the country?
For me, maybe. For me, like, okay, so I don't have my license yet. I don't know ever. And I don't know if... I had one accident here. And I don't know exact... Like, I would say two. The first thing was, I was on a tuk-tuk, like, and then someone just, like, a car, like, almost, like, hit us with all my children. And then
terrifying.
The second one was, like it was. I was on a cab, and another, like, a van really, hit us. So...
Oh, you weren't driving, though?
No, I wasn't. I was just on a car, going, like, on my way to Shunyi Mall, but... That kind of thing, like, I can be very careful as a driver.
Yeah.
But you know how things are here.
They're different, for sure.
I know.
I'm starting to see things, though, I'll tell you. That's been, like, 3 years. And at first, I thought everything was just crazy with driving. I thought there was no system at all. You just force your way in.
That's how I see it, or now, like...
You still do? I kind of can see a system. It's just so totally different than what I'm used to at home. And it's always a little weird.
And so you
weird,
think you're like, comfortable here, like driving, you think? Have you started?
No, I ride a bike all the time. But I've never driven a car here. I'm not quite so worried about like getting into an accident, but what if I did? How would I even deal with it being a foreigner? Like,
I don't know. Right?
It's scary. You could get ripped off. You know?
It could be.
Because what happens when cars get into accidents here, if it's a minor accident, they'll just stop in the middle of the road.
That's what I realized.
Yeah, and they just argue about, like, who's at fault. And bystanders will come out from whoever saw it, and they'll just argue who's responsible. And then they just work out an amount that someone has to pay the other person.
Mine was even simple. What I saw was like, they bumped into each other. The driver got out. They talked and then backed up the car a little bit. Then we went. And I asked like, oh, that was it?
Yeah.
No police involved and all that.
Right. There's something appealing about that where the cops don't come. But
yeah, that was easy, right?
That's as long as you can work it out fairly. You know,
but I see I'm a foreigner, like,
yeah,
oh my
when
God.
You're not from here, it's scary.
I need to read a lot more about that in order for me maybe to get to that point where, okay, I'm ready because I know the laws and, you know, if ever, just be ready. Yeah.
Yeah. But I will say, I ride my bike everywhere here. Like, I almost don't even ride the subway or buses, only if it's a long distance or I stopped riding
the subway because with what happened to Monica one time, remember? Like, she got separated from her daughter.
Oh.
Good thing that they had phone. Each had a phone that time. Of course, like, taking the three kids. But, they're bigger right now. But that's one thing I miss. Like, okay, am I becoming more, from being independent to dependent? Mr. Wong, take me to, so easy. Take me to, just get in the cab and...
Right, Mr. Wong's this
I know.
Taxi driver, I guess you could say, for people listening.
Or send me a driver.
Yeah, so there's like normal taxis here, but there's a shortage of them out in the suburbs. No. It's hard to hail a taxi sometimes. And
oh, very.
Mr. Wong, he's got a couple of good things that none of the other drivers have. He speaks English.
Exactly.
And he's just nice. He's fair.
Very.
He doesn't rip you off. He charges you the right price. He doesn't raise the price later.
Exactly.
And so all the foreigners that I know always call him, and he gets this business.
And if he can't make it, you know, like, even being the, like, having the independence of calling the driver myself, you know, like the app, like the DD, the Uber, you know, all those apps, like, no, Mr. Wang will send me a driver anyway.
Yeah, and if he can't come, he'll send his friends.
Exactly.
So he's got a whole network of drivers.
He has a network of drivers, and that's it. I said, really? Like, am I really liking my life? Like, sometimes I think about it, like, but like, I know exactly like what I miss, like the long drive, because I used to drive like 45 to an hour as well to work, morning and afternoon, and it's actually time for me to think that.
Yeah.
And just, you know, that part of my day.
The commute.
The commute.
Right.
And the traffic, getting the snow, and, you know, there's black rain and sleet and all that.
Where were you living then?
I was in Baltimore City.
Ah, okay.
And the CEO was crazy, like, oh my God, we got to go to work no matter what.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and so.
Wisconsin, too. It rarely shuts down, like, this everything kind of keeps running all winter.
Exactly.
Unless if it's a horrible snowstorm, but even then.
Yeah, so we just have to go to work.
Okay, you just have to do it. And sometimes your 20-minute commute turns into an hour.
Exactly.
Those days are tough.
Like leaving at work, like the longest, like one time we were sent home at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I got home like 9. You know how the traffic so bad, like when everyone like is ready to go home, like, and then the snow is just, you know, accumulating and all that. 9 o'clock, I got home safe at least.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, another thing here with driving that I kind of just thought about recently, because Tiger Woods just got arrested.
Oh my God!
For DUI.
And I couldn't believe it.
I'm like, yeah, I saw that. I'm like, well, that's horrible for him. But I haven't driven in years. It's like, man, I'm glad I don't drive.
I envy, like, oh my God, you know, when I see other teachers here, like, oh, they can just go anywhere, you know, they like.
The ones who drive, yeah. Yeah, it is true. It's a little hard to get out if you want to take like a weekend trip to like a little village. It's kind of hard to get public transportation sometimes.
I know.
And taxis are like too expensive and just.
But when you go to those villages, you always take the bus, right? There are buses available.
Yeah, usually it's possible. But there's a lot of villages have like a bus once a day, twice a day that goes there.
So how do you go? The easiest way to go?
Usually get to the nearest town. And find someone to take me the rest of the way, or try to find that one bus a day that goes, if I can time it right.
I haven't even tried, like, even going to the Great Wall, like, Mr. Wong, and then you gotta wait.
you get dependent on that, huh? It's just too easy just to call the guy. And
I said, is this really a good thing about, you know, going on, or this has to stop?
Yeah, well, I know a lot of the foreigners here will hire a driver for the day to take them to the Great Wall. So they're paying that guy for the whole day.
Oh, yeah.
It's totally possible to go to Mutianyu from Beijing for like 12 kwai, less than $2.
Really?
Yeah, by bus. I mean, it takes a little longer, but.
Longer, right?
Yeah, it's not even that hard.
And then when I took the kids to Mutianyu the first time, the driver waited for us, and then I bargained, like, oh, it's like $450.
$450.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I pay 12.
Oh, my God. I need to start doing that. I mean,
you need like half an hour extra, and you need to like, you know, you need to ask around where the buses are. And as soon as you get off the bus, though, in Juarez.
But you still have to walk, you know, there's still that distance.
Oh, very little.
Really?
Just a little. You take a bus from the suburb here, from Xunyi to Juarez, which is the nearest kind of city to this part of the Great Wall. But the problem is, as soon as you get off that bus, there's going to be 10 guys grabbing your arm and trying to get you to go in their taxi.
Oh,
and they'll
wow.
want like a couple hundred to go, or 100 at least, to go the rest of the way. And it's just like a 15-minute drive from there.
Wow. And, I need to experience that.
And there's buses all the time. And they'll say, no, there's no bus. The bus has stopped running.
So you could get on there.
Yeah. They're just lying to you. So you do have to like kind of deal with
a little bit.
See
the difference? Like 12 to like 450. And even Jenny's, you know, I tried. Like, okay, I actually tried getting on the bus. Like bus 22.
Yeah.
But then when I have all those, like,
groceries. Your shopping bags.
Yeah.
That's
tough. Then you still have to walk and to get to that corner, like, go back to your plaza to catch the bus. So it's kind of challenging, so.
Right. Do you live here on campus?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Katie and I lived here our first year,
two years
ago.
Uh-huh.
And that was kind of a pain getting out there because the nearest grocery store is a little far. It's too far to walk. You're right. The buses.
Sometimes they have six or eight grocery bags.
It's not good to take on a bus.
Exactly. But even if, like, you know, the regular cab, I tried it. It's actually less than 15.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
But
if
then
you can find one.
But which is very seldom.
Yeah.
Very seldom. So when you call drivers, Mr. Ron would send. So like, okay, you pay 25 or 30. See the difference? It doubles.
It almost doubles for the black market guys.
I know.
But they're just convenient.
The convenience.
Right.
You know, over it. I was like, okay, so most of my money like really goes there because I got three children to
That's tough with kids. Yeah.
If it were me, maybe by myself, like I could.
Like Katie and I both just bought bicycles when we got here, and so we would just
Is it like Morgan had? The same, rechargeable.
Yeah, she had an electric bike, right?
Morgan.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Is that the same as yours?
No, ours are just good old. You gotta use your legs.
Really?
You gotta burn the calories. Yeah.
Wow, that is amazing.
The electric bikes here are—they're good, but they're only a little faster, I find, than like bicycles.
Than bicycles,
and they have a limited range. I mean, you can certainly go to the grocery store, but you can't stick it out.
But not a long drive.
Nah, you can't drive for like 3 hours with them. The battery will die.
Even if it's like fully charged.
What's
the longest?
I wonder how far you can go on those. Maybe 50 miles. I'm just totally making this up, but.
So from downtown to here, you take your bike.
Yeah.
From where? Dongjimin, right?
From Dongjimin. It's about, how far is it? 25 Ks, maybe?
That is amazing.
I don't always make that ride. I have taken the subway. But the school is just not in a good location for public transportation.
I understand.
There is the subway line, but it's still pretty far from the school.
It is.
And then if you get a taxi from where the subway stops,
the
rest of the way.
The nearest would be...
Wallycon, probably.
No. The one actually way past, no, near...
There's Hoshayu Station. Sure, but then, the cool thing now, if I lived here still, they have these new rental bikes that are like...
I know.
Really.
How much is that?
Off, like free or maybe one kwai for half an hour.
I think you pay like a...
You have to pay a deposit. That's kind of the scam. It's not really a scam, but...
I wonder how they monitor that, you know?
Well, you pay like $200 for a deposit. And you can, for people who don't know, I've talked about this on the podcast before because it's so interesting. We don't have anything
like
this at all.
Those orange bikes and, you know, different areas of different colors, I guess.
A lot of places in the States have bike rentals from the city, but you have to lock it in a docking station.
Yeah, but to make it safe.
Yeah, but if that docking station's full of bikes, you have to find a different one.
Maybe you
want to go to a house and there's no docking station near it. Well, then the bikes don't work.
Exactly.
It's not very convenient. But these bikes, you lock it to itself, and you just leave it wherever you want.
So deposit for $100, and as soon as you return it, you get your deposit?
Good question. I think we're about to find out because Katie and I are going to leave, and so we'll try to get it back.
What?
I've heard these companies they're just kind of getting money.
Only one company is doing the whole Beijing?
No, there's like five now. There's so many. Like they copy each other, so there's a bunch of them now. But they're just building up capital, venture capital. And when they run out, they get another round of capital. And so the way they make money right now is these deposits.
Yeah, that's a huge amount.
It's a huge amount, but it's only once. You pay like $200, maybe $300, but only one time.
And so, after that day, you pay the deposit. You can just use it and use it.
You can keep doing it, and for a while at least, they were not even charging any money.
Wow,
it's free. But now I think you probably have to pay.
I thought it's the government.
Little.
So it's a private company.
These are private companies.
Wow.
It's, I think you only pay one kwai for half an hour.
This is what Mr. Wang actually told me, because I wanted to use it when I went to a park, and then we could it was a long walk. And then he told me okay, you can actually take those bikes.
Sure.
So how much are those? But he told me one. But he didn't I don't know if he was aware of the deposit.
Yeah. Because, and as a foreigner, it's a little more difficult to get an account set up. Because you need to...
passport number.
Yeah, you need to, like, scan your passport. So it took Katie a couple days to get it approved.
Oh, so you guys tried it one time?
Yeah, Katie does it. And I think you need a Chinese bank account or WeChat wallet, which most foreigners do have.
And it's funny because until now I haven't set up my WeChat wallet.
Right.
Because, like, every time... I need the time to go to the bank and ask them, like, what exactly did you write on my name? Because, like, my passport name, number, and everything, I typed it in to set up my WeChat account. No, it rejected it the whole time. So until now, on my third year, I don't have a WeChat wallet.
Oh, you still don't have it? Or you just got it?
No, I don't have it. Because it always says it's different. I tried all combinations I could think of, and no. To no avail, like, okay, I just have to maybe ask them, like, can you actually, like, look at what's on your record?
Yeah. Well, I don't have it either, and I feel a little left out sometimes.
I know, right? Because almost everywhere you go, like, oh, you can pay WeChat.
Yeah, and again, a lot of people listening won't know what that is. WeChat is like a social network, I guess you could say, in China. It's kind of like Facebook plus Twitter.
I know,
plus,
right?
Like, WhatsApp,
but there's a lot of things we can do actually through
things that you can't even do it anywhere else, like pay for things.
Yeah, groceries through WeChat, movies WeChat.
Go buy a banana on the street for, like, you know, 20 cents. WeChat,
still WeChat.
Yeah, you pay them with WeChat.
I know.
Anything.
And I just actually, like, learned about, like, paying that for, like, the movies because one parent showed me. And I said, oh, my God, really? And so I started exploring. And, like, there are a lot of, you know, when you open, like, when you go to that, what is that? What did you click? Wallet. No. So when you go to WeChat itself, it says the favorites, the posts. And there's one thing that you open, and it opens everything for you. Even restaurants, even.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
A whole lot. Shopping, you can do it.
Oh, it's unreal. And actually, if you know how to use Baidu Maps, it opens up a whole world too. It's like Google Maps, but
I don't know if it's just me. Like, I don't trust all those translations at all. Like, you know, like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess when I first moved here, I didn't know. I couldn't read any Chinese at all.
But now you're so good, Dan.
I know some, but even I think even if you don't read Chinese at all, you can still use the maps because you can. They'll like have a picture of a bus, or even if they don't, you can kind of figure out what's
in there.
And it's really good at giving you the public transportation.
I still work with GPS. Like, okay, let me just, you know, you know, it's still more convenient if I am going to use that. Like, you know, but you know, the spins, for example, oh, this is the place. You saw it in. If I'm going to look at some, you know, how we locate a place here. Oh, can you pin that for me? And then I'll just show it to. Wow, that easy.
Right. Yeah. I remember when I first moved here, though, several times I'd write the address of where I wanted to go on my phone and then show the. In Chinese. Well, I just type it in on my phone and then show it to a taxi driver. And they're always like taking the phone and like moving it away from their head, like, trying to read it, bringing it close to their head. Like, this isn't good. My taxi driver can't see.
I know.
He can't see this. And even if he could read it, like, it was so frustrating. He's like, I don't know where that is. Like, you're from here.
Exactly, right?
Oh,
and there are times, like, I think, but they're getting used, like, this driver circulating around the community.
Yeah.
I think they're getting more familiar with, like, these places that the teachers are going to and all that. So they're getting better.
This is the regular spots that people go.
Exactly.
People go to get groceries and they go shopping.
I used to have this driver, like before I actually got regular with Mr. Wong. So he was also Mr. Wong, but he used to take me to Wang Fu Jing to go to church.
Okay.
So it would take us hours just to, you know, the translation. Like, he would speak on his phone and all that. No, that's not it. Like, it would take forever.
Yeah. Well, that's right in the middle of the city, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he got used to it. Okay, so... You know exactly where to take me, like every Sunday and all that.
Oh, that's convenient then.
Yeah.
Do you ever eat scorpions there?
Nah.
After church? There's like the whole neighborhood or district there, right? Like Have you gone there to eat?
No.
Like, they have all these exotic foods.
Really?
Yeah, scorpion.
No, I just go to the mall and then just eat there. How do I know? And I think I know what you're talking about. Before reaching that area,
it's on the main pedestrian street, just off the street.
Wow. You love exotic food?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's exotic for sure. There's like starfish tentacles.
Yeah.
Like,
have you eaten them here?
Yeah, I ate scorpion and I ate cicadas.
Wow.
The cicadas were a little they didn't have much flavor and they're just squishy.
It depends on how they're prepared.
Yeah, they're just deep fried.
That's
the scorpions
most common.
Really freaked me out though, because they've got these little scorpions on a stick. It's horrible. They just impale them alive. Stick to stick through them.
Then you get it.
And the guy just comes up as to try to get your attention, and he'll wave the scorpion stick at you, and he'll put it right on your arm.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, the scorpions like sting you. They're like, take their stinger, boom, 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 like stinging my arm.
Oh my God.
Like, oh God. And he's like, no, it's okay. I remove the stinger. I'm like, Jesus, man. And I thought you just had to eat it alive. I thought that's how you did it.
And like, so how?
They put it in a fryer.
Oh, you still have to agree to, like, you want it.
Yeah,
you say,
okay, yeah, I'll take it. I just
before
did it
they
once
cook.
Just to try it. Yeah, and it kind of tastes like bacon, actually. It was interesting.
Really?
Yeah, it was actually
I've
okay.
tasted frogs. I've tasted, you know, in the Philippines, we have exotic food as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So maybe this stuff's not so exotic for you.
People just eat. Like, this is very scary because when I shared to my friends back in the States, like, oh my God, you eat dogs? But I tasted it when I was a little.
Yeah.
And that was like one, you know.
It's not really a thing anymore.
Oh, there's still a place.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's still a place back in the north. In the north that they would actually like steal dogs.
Oh, really?
Steal
pet dogs or strays.
Of course, they're strays, but then they stay with a family, and you know what I mean? Culture is like that. Like, only the wealthy families would always, like, buy the dogs and really, you know, the way people
are back. I get what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, a lot of the world, I've realized Americans are kind of weird compared to much of the world, because
they are just so much into, you know.
Yeah, like, they'll have, Americans have dogs, but, like, they're always in the house, or they're your dog, that's your possession.
That's family.
Yeah, in some parts of the world, like, the dog just comes by for food every now and then. And
exactly,
just runs
and
around. Feed this one. Yeah, he's my pet dog, but he's not really yours.
Or sometimes, like, you know, people would give you dogs, like, us, like, we had dogs, I was growing with dogs, but those are from friends. Like, they gave us the dogs, and then we took care of those dogs and all that.
Oh, okay.
But that's not really pretty common. What's common is, like, okay, you see those stray dogs. Oh, you started, and they started coming back to you because you feed them.
Sure, yeah.
And then later on, like, oh, you can actually eat them later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember I was in Mexico. I stayed there for a summer living with a family.
Wow.
And they had two dogs. And they're pretty well.
What breed?
I forget, but the family was pretty well off. And one dog was a purebred. I can't remember what kind it was. But its name was Greco. And then the other dog was a mutt, and it was Goma. And when we'd go for a walk, they'd put a really nice leash and collar on Greco, and Goma would just walk her out.
Really? That was like favoritism. Why? Why was that?
Well, they have to protect Greco's sperm, they said, because he's a valuable dog.
Oh my God!
They don't want him like mating with anyone, and they didn't want to lose him. Like the other dog, they just didn't care about. They're just like, yeah,
really?
Whatever, go around and play.
My uncle had a dog. Like mascot grew to be like 14 years old. That was also expensive, you know, buying food for him, taking him to restaurants and all that. But because they had the money, you know. Not all people would do that.
Sure.
Yeah.
You're starting to see, though, like, in those bigger cities in China, like, people really pampering dogs, too.
I know.
Like, dyeing their hair and stuff. I've got a picture of I was in this town called Datong. Small, tiny city, maybe a million or two people. And yeah, this lady walked into this restaurant, like, carrying a little tiny
chihuahua.
Poodle or something like that. Not chihuahua, probably poodle. In her arms. And its hair was all dyed pink, and it had tassels coming off.
Wow.
Of it. Like, oh my God. So I'll have to show you a picture of that.
I have actually a former student. She just loves her dog, Cookie.
Cookie.
Yeah, Cookie. And oh my God, that's her world. Like, She won't talk about anything, like about the book. When we, like, sometimes I study with her. But if it's about Cookie, she has a lot of things to say. And now she's begging her parents, like, can you give me one more dog? She's an only child, you know?
Okay.
And that's her world. It's like, you know, yeah. A good breed of, I think it's a lab. Cookie is a lab.
Huh.
And she just adores her dog. And now she's waiting for her next birthday in December because she's getting another dog.
Huh.
Yeah, so that's kind of her life. But I guess, like, here, I may not be like you know how Americans would treat their pets, but they're getting it, you know.
It's slowly changing.
It is.
Especially among the more affluent people in the bigger cities.
They have pets.
I have seen dogs for food, though, only once in southern China.
Oh, really?
near Yangshuo. Wow. There's just this little town or little village near a bigger town that's more touristy. But
uh-huh.
This little town, there's just like a weekly market there that I went for. And there's not much really happening there otherwise. But this market, all the farmers come down and sell all their stuff.
And have you tried, like?
Not here. Katie and I tried it once in North Korea, but not in China. But I saw this in this little village. I saw this. It was horrible. I saw a bucket of severed dog heads.
And oh my God!
Oh no!
I tasted it when I was like maybe in high school.
Did you?
The meat was more or less similar to the goat meat.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But it was cooked very well.
Hmm. Yeah.
And there were, like, actually some family members cooked it very well. So it was safe for me to eat.
Yeah.
And I loved it, actually.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, pork, like, with, like, sauce, like, and pork and beans and all this stuff.
It's interesting you say that. Once I was in Colombia, in Bucaramanga, Colombia, and at this other market, and There were goats for sale there, like skinned, but the head was still attached. The rest of the body was just no fur. You could just see the meat,
oh.
And you could buy a whole goat.
Do you eat that? Have you tried?
I'm sure I have at some point. But the reason I'd say this is because I asked the people I was with, like, why is the head still on? Why don't they cut that off? And they said, oh, well, they want to make sure, they want to prove that's really a goat.
Oh.
They might sell. It might have been dogs, or it might have been some other similar-sized animal that they'll sell as if it's a goat.
Yeah, but actually, they taste similar. Like I know.
Yeah,
yeah.
So they probably have fooled people. So
yeah, and you know that that's actually one favorite meat that we have. Like my family, even like the goat, but we raised that though.
Oh, you raised your own?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So back home, we raised, and then my uncle from the States, every time he would actually go home and visit, mm-hmm. he would always request like. The family dinner, we have that, and that's my father's specialty.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. He cooked it very well, and I love it as well. Different, uh-huh. like the skin, different ways to cook the skin and the meat and all that.
What's the food like there? Is it spicy or?
It all depends. But in my family, we love spicy foods.
Yeah.
So you have a choice whether to cook it like just plain sauce or. Or if you want it very spicy, or like, you know.
And then there's always the, like, native level spicy. Or
yeah. But my father, I grew up with him. Almost every meal, we need to have that sauce, like the spicy. Yeah. So even like a simple soup, like the fish soup. So it has to be spicy.
Oh, everything you want
yeah.
spicy.
You want spicy. So I grew up loving it. Now my children love spicy foods.
Okay. Yeah, me too. Yeah, I've noticed like tropical places tend to have spicier food.
Yeah.
The closer you get to the equator, the spicier it gets.
So you need to, like when you visit, so we have some, like really a place, like a restaurant with the exotic food as well. So you and Katie are planning, you need to go to those places.
Yeah, we're planning to be in the Philippines in December.
Which part?
Well, we haven't really gotten to that part of the plan yet,
but it all depends on what you want to see, you know.
Yeah, we're in the nature, and especially since we've been living in one of the biggest cities in the world for a few years,
not
just
the beach,
get away,
you know? Not the nature would be you can still see that. Okay, Palawan would be good, and even Cagayan, like in Mindanao.
Okay, well, if
you see caves, and
if we're there over Christmas, we might have family come visit us, so actually maybe the beach would be good. Normally we're not like relaxers. We're not like people who sit on the beach.
You need
all
to
day.
Be traveling all the time, right? Backing up and back and all that. So south might be good for, I don't know if you like, you know, like diving. A lot of our friends went there.
Yeah.
to get their diving license.
Okay. Yeah, I'm certified, but I haven't gone in like 10 years. It's been a while.
Christy just got hers last summer, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Down in the, like, the Visayas area. You know, the Philippines is like divided into three great islands. So you have the Luzon, Visayas, and Mindanao. I come from the Visayas, so a lot of diving spots are.
Visayas is a collection of islands? Like
exactly.
An archipelago?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So the entire Philippines is an archipelago, so divided into like three major islands. So there's a group of, like in Luzon, there's the Mindanao part, and the south, the Visayas.
Okay, so, and are you from a little village or
I'm
city?
From Cebu, actually. Cebu is like growing, becoming more like Manila. It's still a metropolitan, so it's when I actually came back from the States, like, oh my God, like, the change was amazing.
What is it?
A lot of malls are, like, it's just, like, becoming more Manila.
It's just been being developed?
I haven't
been to the Philippines. Neither
very developed.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of, like investors are really there.
Okay. A lot of tourism?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because a lot, like, especially the Japanese, Koreans, there's a lot of them.
That's close enough.
You know, the economics, like, there's the economic area, like, hectares of, like, factories and all that. So the economic zone in the south is really expanding.
Would you recommend visiting Cebu for tourism?
You would love Cebu.
Yeah.
Not because I'm from there, you know. But a lot actually visited Cebu because, so you get the... but it's easy to travel. Like, you know, like you can take the jeepney. Like, of course, we don't have trains yet. Like only in Manila, like the within the city.
Like a subway?
Yeah, so... But when you go to provinces, you take the boats. Not everything is still accessible with airplanes. If you take the plane, you go to the major city, then take buses from there.
Oh, okay. But it sounds like you have a good network of public transportation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like,
Especially now, because people, they're making it into business. With the tourism booming,
sure.
So people are trying to come up with all sorts of like innovation. Okay, they'll need this, and you know, and you can even you would see that. Like I showed Elka one time, like oh my God, this is what Filipinos do with motorcycles. Like one single, like you know, the two wheel, like the bike, like the motorcycle, like. Elka like was shocked, like seriously, like nine people could fit in there.
Nine on one motorcycle? It's like a circus.
Yeah, because you have to reach like the mountainous areas and all that, where the roads are not built yet and all.
Yeah, I think the most I've ever seen on one is five.
Oh, like seven, a mom and dad, nine, and even more.
Wow.
I show them pictures and my students were shocked, like, really, you use that? Yeah, but... That's part of, you know, innovation, resourcefulness of the people.
Sure. Yeah, it's interesting coming back to Beijing after being in Southeast Asia. Like, I haven't been to the Philippines, but I've been to, like, Vietnam and Cambodia and Thailand. And those countries are so much more chaotic than Beijing. And Beijing just feels, like, really quiet and peaceful.
Compared to
those places. Yeah, for sure.
Like, you know, you've seen that. Like, I haven't visited, but, you know, like, the pictures posted and all of that, of course. Like, people were so fascinated with, you know, seeing and all those things. Like, you'd see some of those partly in the Philippines as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we have those. We have the tuk-tuks. Like, similar to here. Now, of course, we call it tricycle. Like, different types of.
Different kind of tuk-tuks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not just like one kind here.
Oh, right.
Different cities would have different tuk-tuks.
Yeah. Well, here they almost have to have closed-in ones because we have winter.
Exactly.
You know, and you can't... It's really cold if you ride a motorcycle in the winter here.
Exactly. And it's, of course, part of, you know, the location and...
Right.
Geographical location of a country.
I assume Cebu is hot all the time.
Ah, very.
Yeah.
Very, like, even, like, oh, the hottest would be, like, April and May. When you go in December, it's it's still humid, you know, and all that, but not compared to.
Do you have like rainy season then after that?
June, July.
Okay.
Yeah. So when we go home, sometimes like if we want to go to different islands, oh, storms are there, like 30, 35 storms. You gotta. When we went home last summer, I really wanted to take the kids to island hopping. It was canceled twice because of the storm.
Wow. That sucks.
That's really unfortunate. That July month, when we go home.
That's the worst month, huh?
That's the worst month to go. December is better.
Yeah. For us going to Wisconsin, like July is probably the best month.
It's just
nice and warm all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. But opposite when you go down south.
All right.
So December would be good. But see, we have the summer capital. When I was still in the Philippines, we used to go to the north. Like, we call it Baguio City.
What do you call it?
Baguio City.
Baguio City. Okay.
So it's the summer capital. So it's cold because it's, of course, up in the north.
Oh, okay.
And it's actually more have like the fall weather here. Oh. Yeah, so we'd stay there rather than stay in the city with all, like, you know, the heat and all.
Ah, right.
So all year is like that.
Okay.
Yeah, it was even in the news, like, oh my God, it snowed one time in Baguio. What's up?
Whoa.
Is
everyone just flocking there to like see?
But see, I don't know how developed that was. Like, I've been there, like, when I was still in the country, I had a chance to spend a vacation there in the summer, like maybe four times. Uh-huh. And instead of spending it in the like very hot Manila, like the city, so we had to go up. But then the road was not very developed, like very narrow, and it has like one bus. You gotta stop and all that. Mm. But I heard like there are already like a lot of people, like, you know, sending vans and all. You can rent all.
Yeah. When I hear about bad roads that are gravel or whatever, I actually kind of get excited because. It's like, okay, not many people are going to go there.
Yeah.
You know, the harder it is to get there, the fewer
people.
The
farthest that I went up in the north actually was to see the famous rice terraces.
Ah, okay.
So my co-teachers, oh my God, they're crying, can we just stop here and walk? Because we got up there maybe 10 o'clock and it was so dark and all. No, we have to. And the road was only one bus could actually fit on a road, so it was kind of challenging to travel.
Huh.
But it was worth seeing at all.
Oh, so maybe we should do that too then, huh?
You should.
Okay.
And it's like very, like it's up in the north, way up in the north, but it is, of course, like if I'm not mistaken, it's still part of the wonders of the world.
Okay. Well, we're trying not to fly, or fly as little as possible, so we hope to get to Taiwan and bike around Taiwan for a while.
Oh,
and then
before
the Philippines, and then probably sell our bikes in Taiwan, and then because we're gonna do a bit of biking around Japan and Taiwan.
That's exciting.
Yeah, those are more a little. Taiwan's awesome for biking apparently, and Japan's just so expensive that
it is,
I think this
right?
would be a good way to do it cheaply. But from Taiwan.
So that's your route, like from here to them?
Oh, our route. I can tell you our route. We're gonna start in the. We're gonna start in Iceland for a few days.
Oh.
And then go.
Wow.
Yeah, then Finland for about a week and visit some friends and check out the south of Finland at least.
Oh.
And then head into Russia, and take the Trans-Siberian.
Oh.
Yeah, across to Lake Baikal. And then
spend
some time there.
So when are you guys starting? July?
Beginning of August.
Wow.
Yeah, we're getting excited. Yeah.
That sounds very exciting. All year? Like, you already planned?
The whole next school year, yeah.
Wow.
So we don't quite have the whole thing planned out. We're going to go from Lake Baikal down through Mongolia.
Oh.
And then end up back in here in Beijing.
Well, you went there, right? Or is this your first time?
No, I haven't been to Mongolia. I've been to Inner Mongolia.
Oh, Inner Mongolia.
But not the country of
the
Mongolia.
The country.
So that'll be a first. We haven't been to Russia either, so that'll be cool.
Wow.
Then once we get to Beijing, we're just going to leave two of our bikes here, our fold-up bikes, for the summer, and we'll pick those up and take them down to Shanghai, try to catch a boat to Japan. Bike around Japan, hopefully catch another boat to Taiwan, although we're not quite sure if that's possible.
How long would those boat trips take?
Maybe a day to two days. I took a boat ferry from Qingdao to South Korea, to Incheon, and that was maybe 16 hours or so, maybe a little longer. So it's not too terrible. This is going to be a longer distance. But
I miss taking those boat trips, though, because like before, like, you know, taking the plane was very expensive to travel, and boat trips would take longer, but it's enjoyable, though.
Do they still have a lot of boats in Philippines?
Because we need to cater to, you know, a lot of like other people who cannot afford a plane. But sometimes they don't really realize that there's very, like, you know, not much of a difference.
Right.
The fare?
No, that's very commonly the case nowadays. Like, the flights are super cheap. Mm. And so the boat ferry prices probably haven't come down very much. And flights have come down so much that you almost have to want it.
But there are just cases in the Philippines where even if you want to take the plane, maybe you have the money, but then there are no airports. It's not, you know, you can't. So it's, the boat is the easiest. We have ferries, like we have the fast craft. So have all the choices you can. Like, oh, so you want to go to another island. Either you take the longer route, like, okay, overnight, or you just have to take 45 to an hour. Then you can.
Yeah.
The fast craft. Although you pay more money.
Sure. And if you get seasick easily, it's like, what do you want? Like a slower, but not just like
when
slow
I was
death.
Younger, we used to, like, I used to travel with my friends, so we took the boat, the big boats, where of course the restaurants, there are pools and bars and all that, so you just take your time, like 24 to 26 hours on the boat to get to Manila. But now, like, you know, I know the easiest way is like plane, just take the plane.
But see, I don't want that. I hope we can find boats all over the place. I took a trip down the Amazon once, on the Amazon River. That was awesome, man. It was like, you know, a week of just being on a ship, and you get a place to hang your hammock, and you just watch the life go by,
amazing.
You know?
Was Katie there with you?
No, it was before I met her.
Oh. But,
yeah, a while ago.
The last cruise, like, before I came here, like, it was just, like, the area, like, New York and Jersey and all that. I took that with my friends.
Proper cruise ship?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, that's where you get the luxury.
So my chairman actually, like, took me because she, you know, she wanted, like, it's a treat for me after working together for, like, maybe 8 years.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's fun, then.
Yeah.
That's a good prize.
Before I left.
Right. Yeah. Oh, really nice going away gift, then.
Yeah, going away gift.
Right. The cruise I took down the Amazon, I wouldn't call it cruise. Wow. I've done a few that
How long?
it's like, yeah, you get a spot to hang your hammock and your ass is going to be touching the next person over's ass, you know? but it gets you there.
How long did it, like, you know, was the whole trip?
Let's see. I went with a friend and we started in Iquitos. And that's that city I flew to. You can't drive to Iquitos. There's no roads leading to it. And there's like 500,000 people there. So it's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah, it's on the Amazon River. It's wild.
Oh, my God. And
so starting there, that's in Peru. And then down to the border with Colombia and Brazil. Yeah, the three countries come together at one border. And then there's some border formalities. We had to wait for visas for a couple of days to get into Brazil. And then from there down to Manaus in Brazil. That's the biggest city on the Amazon. And so that the whole thing on the water probably was like 6 days.
Wow.
And that was to see maybe half of the river. I mean, if not even.
Was the food good? Like,
nah, it's like they'll just cook up a big pot of food for everybody and everybody just kind of gets, it's like stale bread and, like, you know, instant
6 days.
Coffee and, oh, it's awful.
But it was worth it, you know, the experience itself.
Yeah, I mean, that's the included food. Like, we'd stop at every little village. Because none of the villages along the Amazon have roads leading to them, other than there's like Manaus does, and
that's
a couple
there.
Other big cities do. Nah, there's villages of, you know,
even
a thousand
up to now,
people.
They're not really.
Nah, and there's no bridges crossing the Amazon anywhere. There's not even one, and so these villages.
You gotta take that, like, really.
Yeah.
Route, like, back. Yeah. Oh no, you started at like one, like, what's that?
Oh, well, this is part of a longer trip, so Iquitos.
Iquitos, yeah. And then where did that end?
We got off in Manaus, and there's actually a road that goes to Manaus.
Ah,
and so then we went.
That was easy.
Yeah, yeah. But then that's the first, like, week of a year and a half segment of South America that I did.
So. Is Katie going to go and see that herself?
She wants to.
Oh, wow. That would be a good experience, you know.
Yeah, maybe I'll take her back. I mean, I traveled for, like, 2.5 years in South America.
Wow.
And so I kind of feel
so
like
I've
seen
it. So you've been to, like, all countries?
In South America, yeah.
Wow, yeah. That is amazing.
But there are only 13 countries in South America. It's not
that
like Europe.
In 2 years, so you spent a good time in each.
Yeah, like 3 months in each of the big ones.
Wow. Which country, like, you really, like, fell in love with? Like,
I really love Bolivia above
Bolivia?
Anything else.
Wow. Why?
So it has so many things that going for it. It's other than the ocean, doesn't have a coast, but it has mountains that, like, the capital is La Paz. And that's about 3,500 meters, I think, around there. It's really, really high.
Wow.
In the mountains. And it's in the middle of this mountain range called the Cordillera Real. And there's all sorts of hiking you can do in the mountains. You can climb.
Were you with a group then, or were you by yourself?
Just by myself. I mean, wow. I met a lot of people. But right next to it, a couple hundred kilometers away, is the Amazon. And so there were a lot of ancient villages. Some way up in the mountains, some a little lower, and as you go down lower, it gets warmer and warmer. And there's roads connecting these, like, footpaths that were paved by the Incas.
The Incas.
And you can hike on a lot of these. And so I hiked a few of those, and some of them are, almost no one even goes down these. But they're like, well, I mean, we say ancient, but it's like 500 years ago.
500.
Yeah, not like thousands of years ago,
yeah.
But...
Some more ancient here in China, you know. There's
right. I mean, if it's a little annoying, actually. Anytime you tell a Chinese person about, like, history that's not their own history, they're like, oh, you don't have much history. That
because they
we have 5,000 years of history.
I know, right?
It's like,
it's very
I know you have 5,000 years of history, but other places have some interesting history, too.
Yeah, exactly. They have, too.
Yeah, a lot
they're
of the
just,
world does.
Of course.
Right.
Home to ancient civilizations, so they think, like, theirs is... It's just love for, you know, for their own, maybe.
Yeah. That's true. They do have a lot of pride in their own country. And
that's
fine. Pride. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. But then they maybe, like, some already appreciate other, you know, civilizations as well and all that.
Yeah.
But
I think they're getting there. Chinese people are traveling more now. They're got to remember 30 years ago. Like,
yeah,
this it was
generation,
a totally
different I guess.
Place.
Different generations.
Yeah,
or?
For sure. The economy has developed so much here.
That is one thing actually I want to I really want to do in China, you know, because I know there's so much in China that I want, like, so much things to see.
Right.
So
it's huge and there's so much to see.
Yeah.
And do. I just got the signal from Katie that we got to get going, but I guess we must have been talking for quite a while already.
Forever. Yeah. So
how much longer do you think you'll be here? Is this a long-term thing?
Matthew is starting high school, so...
Yeah?
I don't know if I'm ready to really pull them out from, you know...
Oh, yeah, that's tough.
From school. I just want a more stable school so to prepare him. 4 years to prepare him for college, so...
Right. Oh, that's great, though. So you'll be here a while and you... You can
maybe and go to Tibet, like, that's my dream, you know.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, travel.
Yeah.
Like,
travel,
I still want to
travel.
I really love traveling, though.
That's awesome.
But now there's limitation, like, 3 kids by myself and all that.
Yeah.
And of course, like, the money that goes with the trip.
Yeah, it's cool though. They're experiencing so much.
They experience.
They're living quite an awesome life here, I'm sure.
Privilege, but you need to, you know, instill the responsibility, you know.
That's true.
Yeah. If you live a privileged life, then you got to know exactly what comes with it.
Right. I'm sure you're doing a great job of keeping them humble. Your kids are awesome.
That is always so nice. That is one thing, like, you know, sometimes, like, you don't know exactly when it's really there. You keep teaching it until, you know, you instill it.
You don't know if they get it.
I need evidence, like, you really, you know, use, like, doing it, like, it has to be imbibed, you know, like, even if I'm not there, you know, that is something, like, I want them to have. Oh, I took, like, did you see some photos they posted? Like, I actually took them camping to the Great Wall. At the Great Wall.
Did you?
Yeah.
Intense.
It was last October.
Or in the, oh, you know, I didn't see this.
So I took them to that, the unrestored part of the wall.
Jenko.
Jenko, yeah. The area, the three parts.
Okay.
And then we actually camped in the middle of Göbekli.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, we did.
You'll have to show me these pictures. And I always put up show notes for the podcast, so I can put them up on my website then.
We did. So because I really wanted to see the sunset at the wall.
Yeah.
So we had a hike. Oh, my God. It was actually getting to know myself, like those kids. Like, so I was always last, maybe because of my age. But it was a great experience. I told them, hey, guys, you need to come back here. So, you know, maybe 10 years after and see what was the change. So we were able to even see the military camp, that area.
Right. Yeah, there's a military base there.
Yeah, the military base. Right.
That's a great experience, though. It's
I want to go back, maybe.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, so definitely get back.
It was an experience for the children.
Okay.
But it was more of me actually like giving that to them, like, oh, you need to, like, and it's not just camping, it's like the Great Wall. Come on, this is
totally, yeah. Hopefully, they appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. And eating with the village people because, you know, they cooked for us.
Oh, did they sing YMCA?
In some villages, they would do that.
Maybe.
No, it was.
That's their job, right?
Actually, there was a guide because, like, I could not have done it by myself. I took two other children with us. So I had actually five children with me.
Yeah.
But it was an experience. That one I treasure so much.
Awesome.
The camping experience, like, oh my, like, it could be scary because some people told us, like, no, like, are you serious? Like camping, like, in the middle of, like, you know, those things. But that was it.
You lived through it.
Yeah.
So,
I saw the sunset. It was like, it took a lot of pictures and all that, like, hike back down and, you know, back again to just set up the tents and all that. We might do it again.
All right. Well, we'll leave it at that. And you should definitely go back again.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks for coming on the show, Michelle. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and
thank you for the chance.
Special thanks to Mitch Elber for coming on the show, and thanks to you for listening. As usual, I'm going to put up some photos and links to stories and other information on my website in the show notes for this podcast. And that website is 1000daysbetween.com. That's the number, 1000daysbetween.com. I'll catch you in a week.